losing Justin Herbert is a crushing blow for Austin and the Chargers going forward. But what can Easton Stick bring to the table? Why are we getting so many quarterback injuries in 2023? Is there a reason behind it, or is this just, it is what it is? And finally, who are some quarterback streamers you can take advantage of heading into week 15 and potentially through the fantasy playoffs? All that and more coming up on the week 15 edition of Eckler's Edge. Let's get into it. It's Wednesday, December 13th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. Not a whole lot. First off, I got to say, that jacket is very vibrant. I'm digging the jacket, man. Like, that thing is, like, got a pop. It, like, glows. Like, maybe it's something with the background and how it's kind of meshing and, like, the contrast of colors, but... yeah, I'm liking the style today. So that's starting off on a good foot.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it does seem to pop pretty well with the background, but it's a rather vibrant jacket. Shout out to, you know, I'm not gonna say the brand that it comes from, because they're not sponsoring the show and they're not sponsoring me, despite the fact that I've been trying to will that into existence.
Wait a minute. But look, did I hit a hot spot here? Sorry, I didn't mean to make it, you know. Touchy subjects. My bad.
We'll talk off. It's a great jacket. Love the jacket, and I love this particular clothing brand. We'll talk offline about the sore subject of the sponsorship thing. But
for sure.
Anyways,
for sure.
Point being, appreciate it, buddy. You look great as always. Little peel back the curtain. We're recording this a little bit earlier than we usually would. So if we are not 100% up to date on some news, anything like that, just want to make that known right here off the top, due to the fact that Austin is playing on Thursday Night Football this week. So we got to adjust to fit our guy's schedule here. But I say that to say you're looking great coming off a tough game yesterday, man. You've still got good energy about you despite the fact that everything that happened.
I'm trying for the show, you know. It's easy for me to be down and, you know, poor me, like, but that's not where I am. That's not who I am. It's like, okay, it is what it is. It's the situation. It's the reality of sports. You're going to lose. You're going to win. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be good times. And unfortunately for us right now, or maybe fortunate, maybe it is good. You never really know how stuff plays out. Obviously, you don't want to lose, but I think you learn a lot about yourself and your team, and it challenges you in life when you go through times like this where it's like, it's not going well. You're trying everything to try to, you know, obviously go out there and win, but you're not winning. And for me as an individual, it challenges me mentally, because I'm like, okay, like, how can I put myself in a position to keep going, keep pushing forward, keep competing, keep a good energy around the guys, keep a good energy around, you know, everyone around me, because I don't want to be the person that brings people down. Like, oh, like, we lost and I want you to feel sorry for me. Like, don't feel sorry for me. Like, this is part of the sports. This is how it is. Obviously, if you're a fan of the Chargers or a fan of, you know, the show, then, you know, it sucks. But that's competition. There's going to be a winner and a loser. So I'm going to keep a good energy, regardless, win or lose, because it is required for us to continue to keep a level head going forward in life, not just football. And so that's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at.
Well, hey, that's an admirable perspective, and I think something that everybody can take from, not just football related, man. Like, you are so much, we're not in control of what happens to us in life, you know, and I mean, obviously you control part of the outcome on the field, but the one thing you can control is certainly, like, how you interact and the energy you bring to every aspect of your life. That's the one thing you can control.
Absolutely. And, you know, we play a team game, and when there's a team game, everyone has to contribute to the product on the field. And whether you or your team contributes enough, you know, you might win, or if you don't contribute enough, obviously you're going to lose. And, you know, I feel like we've had too many broken series where it's like we have some good splash plays, or we have guys that make plays here, and then it's just broken. Like, we hit like a wall for something. So we've been struggling trying to get over that hump. You know, we have a few games here, starting with Thursday Night Football, to try to get back on some sort of track here. I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
Yeah. Regardless of what happens the rest of the season, it's a proving ground for everybody else that's out there, you know, going forward for their career, everything. But like you mentioned, Chargers fall to 5-8. Probably the biggest loss, though. I mean, obviously you lose the game, but comes in the form of an injury to Justin Herbert, your quarterback. Broken right index finger, Brandon Staley said after the game. Obviously, it's not been the season that you've wanted. It's not been the season that anybody in your building has wanted so far. Like, talk to me about what Justin's been like throughout this season. Because I remember we had a similar conversation last year of like, man, he's just such a good player. And it's just kind of a shame that that we're not going to see him like in the postseason, right? We had that conversation at the time last year. And then, oh, well, shoot, you guys end up making the playoffs. So what has he been like in the building this year? And I don't know, just kind of give me your evaluation on Justin's season so far.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, first off, you know, talking about the injury, I mean, this man is as tough as it gets. Like, we've seen that the entire last year, right, with his rib injury. You know, we still ended up making a run and getting into the playoffs. And so, you know, it's a testament to him as a person, as a competitor, and how much he actually cares about playing for this team. Kind of going back to the attitude conversation we had, right, where you could be like, ah, you know what, I got my ribs cracked. You know, I could, you know, sit out a week or two. This guy's like, no, I'm not only going to not sit out, but I'm going to finish this game where it actually happened. And so I know for him, man, like, even he had his finger, you know, early in the year, mm-hmm. you know, on his other hand. And so the dang fingers, man. Freaking
breaking
annoying.
Fingers on both the hands in the same
annoying,
season.
Man.
What are we doing?
Annoyed fingers. Man, I just admire him and how much he loves this game. And I tell him after, you know, every game, I just like how proud I am of him and his leadership and how he's continued to grow and be a leader on the field, man. Because when we're on the field and on game day, Justin, where it's like he comes alive, he's like, he's just in the huddle. He's commanding it, right? He's encouraging. He's all of this, all of everything you'd want in a leader. He's tough, you know, gritty, you know, making plays, all of it. Obviously sucks, you know, to see him go down. You know, we have Easton Stick coming in, and I'm excited for him to get his opportunity to show us what he can do, because I've seen him in scout teams, so that's great. But Justin, just, you know, he's been that. That's what he's been. All those things I just said about, that's what he's been this entire year. And he's been what we needed. Hey, give us a chance, man. He's making plays when we need him to make plays. Obviously, you know, we've been coming up short in some here and there. But like I said, it's a team game. And when you have someone like Justin on your team, he's going to be a big contributor to what you're putting on the field. And obviously, we're appreciative of that. And like you said, yeah, hasn't gone how we've wanted to. For whatever reason, you know, there's a million reasons that you could say, hey, oh, this is why the season hasn't gone the way we wanted it to. But that's competition. That's sports. There's, like I said earlier, there's ups and downs. And so I hope the best for Justin, his health, obviously, first, getting his finger back on track. But like I said, if he can go, he's going to go. That's just the type of person that he is. He doesn't want to leave us out there. He feels bad. Like, man, he wants to be out there, you know, and I know he wants to be out there. And so, if you can, great. If not, Stick, let's go, man. Watch a step up. Because look, if Stick goes, we're getting to this conversation later. I need a new quarterback if Justin's not going, you know, in my fantasy team. So we'll get into that conversation later. So maybe it'll be Stick. Who knows? We'll see.
We shall see. Yeah, he's going to get his opportunity on Thursday night. I mean, he had a couple of moments there in the Denver game coming in relief. I mean, he threw a big downfield pass to Quentin Johnston, rookie receiver, probably the biggest play of his career so far, maybe other than that Cowboys touchdown. I think was that against the Cowboys? No, it was
maybe.
Lions. I think Lions game.
Okay.
Lions game.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, so I mean, he had a couple moments there, so we'll see what Easton does. But no, I wanted to give you that chance to talk about Justin, because I know, like, when we had the episode with him last year in person, like, I remember you saying, like, I wish I could play with this guy like forever, you know, because mm-hmm. just he's such a
man. He's a guy that just, like, immerses himself into the game. Like, he wants to be here, wants to be around it, like lives and breathes football. And at the quarterback position, like, it's so important for that. And that's, if you're going to have a franchise quarterback that's going to play for 20 years, you want that passion to stay like that forever. And so it just makes it fun, because he has the talent to be a superstar quarterback, and then also has the passion to continue to, right, keep it going and continue to express that and build upon that. So it makes it fun and exciting opportunity to play in the backfield with him.
I talk to you every week. I've been very lucky in my career to talk to a lot of different NFL players. Very fortunate that somehow this is my life. I can't believe it. But I say all that to say that talked to a lot of players. Still probably one of my favorite quotes in any player interview was the one with him last year. Again, when he's like, yeah, outside of football, I live a pretty boring life. Clearly, he's about ball, man.
All of his excitement is within football. Like, he loves football, man. You can't fault him for that. The guy knows what he likes, and it's the game. It's the opportunity to compete in the gridiron, man. So, hey, he's a legend for that.
Yeah, like I said, I know it's been a frustrating season, and we've talked about this on the show. When you're having a frustrating season on the field, you're losing games, like little quotes start to get analyzed, and is this guy throwing this guy under the bus? But like, I know how much you value Justin as a teammate and everything, so I wanted to give you the chance to just sort of...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about, this and that. And, media, it seems to really sway with the extremes, right? It seems, because that's what gets the clicks. That's what's intriguing. This person said this about this person, or these people lost, or there's this injury, or there's this crazy play that happened, right? It's all the wild stuff. The stuff in the middle where you're talking about stuff that's like, that's just how he feels. It wasn't really that controversial, or it didn't have a strong opinionated, thing that can have two sides to it. Doesn't really get highlighted. And so I would say, like, for me, 90% of my media stuff, it just goes right just as another normal story. And then you'll have that 10%, maybe probably even less than that, that's like boom, viral, and everyone perceives you as just that, and so it's a toxic place, unfortunately, for some times of the year when there's negative things going. But it could also be, in a place where you can continue to connect and express yourself if it's about good things. But media, I have mixed feelings.
I mean, I am the media and I have mixed feelings too. So listen,
So podcasting, I wouldn't say is necessarily media.
So what is media then? Like,
I would say media is more people that are like, have to seek out like stories and then write about them or journal about them, things like that. I feel like when you're casually like talking and having discussions about them, like in a podcast setting, it's not necessarily media. I would say it's like a place where you can get like a video content, right? I mean, maybe what would you consider media? I don't know. I would say
media is anything like, this is a type of, I think what we're saying here is there is a certain type of media, right? I mean, I always get a kick out of like, I'm not going to be political here, but like, political reporters and stuff, or like political talk shows, like what the media doesn't want you to know as they're talking into like a freaking camera on a TV show that, millions of people or thousands of people are going to watch. Like, yo, buddy, you are the media. You are setting the tone. So I don't like to come on this show and be like, the damn media doesn't want you to know that this teammate is fighting with it. Like, because, okay, at the end of the day, like, people could take a clip from this show and it can go viral and all that type, which, that, talk about mixed feelings. It'd be nice if people knew about the show, but also want it to be in a positive sense. So I think there are just different types of media. On this show, we're not trying to be the clicky type of media.
Well, I should correct myself because I 100% agree. And I'm looking up like the actual true definition of media, and when I think of media, I think of all these journalists and things like that are all around me, after the game. This is definitely a type of media. And I would disagree. We do want to be clicky, but not for the controversial reason because, look at Matt Harmon said about this person, but for the reason that like, dang, Matt Harmon gave some good insight, right? For good quality content is why we want to be clickable and why we hope we capture your attention every single week.
Yeah, I mean, quality over quantity to me. Obviously, you want as many people to come on this show and be excited to watch it, but you want it to be for the right reasons, not like, I can't wait to see who he slams on this episode.
Look, there's people out there that's how they make a living, And so that's why I say this is like a toxic environment, because there's some of that. There's some of like, hey, we want to just put quality, keep it like unbiased as much as we can and not really put anyone under the bus, right? Just talk about the facts. It's an interesting place, right? We all have this voice and, it carries weight and sometimes more than others. But we have to be careful with what we do with our voices. So yeah, this is media. This is the current state of media. So anyway, I digress.
No, I mean, hey, we could do a whole hour on like the state of sports media and stuff like that. And that would be,
I saw something like, I think it was like Stephen A. There was something where he said it was like Pat Mahomes' most embarrassing moment. And it's just like stuff like that. That's like talking about the, you know, the offsides and how Pat was, you know, going crazy. He's still frustrated about it, you know, and obviously Pat's emotional, but it's like, even just saying that now is like putting like this negative connotation on Pat, where it's like, hey, look, this guy's just emotional. He didn't want that to be called. Obviously he's upset. And now we're forced to go talk while we're upset on the media. And guess what? It's probably not going to be the cleanest thing or the clearest head that we're speaking from. And so, you know, you're going to get some moments like that. And then now it's going to be publicized. Oh, look, he's making himself look like a fool, or he's wrong, or he's right. It's just like, ah, it's just like, gosh, man, like there's gotta be a better way.
Yeah. There's gotta be
a better way.
It's like, I always say this about the receiver quarterbacks, like that get in, you know, get in a fight on the sideline, right? Great example is Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown earlier in the season. You know, people are making such a big deal about they're having this like sideline heated discussion, like, wow, AJ Brown's yelling at Jalen Hurts because he's not getting enough targets. And then AJ Brown literally says, like, no, that's not what it was about. I'm like having to, these are two guys like at the height of the sport trying to get things done. And like, oh, by the way, ever since that game, AJ Brown went on this massive tear. It's like, I always tell people, like, go read a freaking gossip magazine if that's what you want. Like, let us just talk about football, man. So it can definitely be frustrating.
I'm coming from a player's perspective, right? So like, I'm in it. I'm in the locker room. I'm on the sideline. I'm on the game. So I have like the ins on like these conversations and like what's going on and how people feel and all of that, because I'm part of it. And so I get why it's intriguing and why people are like, ooh, did you see this? What does this possibly mean? Because you're on the outside. You don't have that necessarily access. And so there's that level of uncertainty that you're intrigued in. You're like, okay, like, what is the scenario? Like, did this happen? Or, hey, these people are arguing. What do you think they were talking about? And so I 100% understand it. But also as an athlete, it's all noise. I go back to what Kobe told me. It's all noise, man. Just locked in on the prize. You know, I think one of the things I remember from him, most memorable time, he came out and spoke to us as a team. I don't know if I shared this on this show, but
he talked about
like a lion hunting. And when a lion's hunting a gazelle or whatever it's hunting, like it's locked in and it's low in the grass and there's grass in front of its face and there's flies flying around. There's all this extra stuff, but you got to look through that. You got to stay hyper-focused on what the prize is, what you got to be doing. And so like, I kind of associate like the media and all these outside like opinions, like the flies in the grass. Like it's just outside stuff that's there, but you just got to look through on what's actually important. And right now, NFL season, it's, hey, making sure put the best product on the field as a team and not getting too caught up in all of this outside hoopla about this and that, you know, because especially around our team right now, where it's like, oh, the Chargers, you know, they're supposed to be this and they're this. Well, it's like there's perception and there's reality, right? We live in reality and, you know, there's all these expectations, but guess what? We have to play the game and we have to make sure we go out there and make the plays. And so whether you thought this or thought that, guess what? Doesn't matter. We have to go play. And if it hasn't been where we wanted, obviously. And so that's what we have to focus on trying to fix. And there's all these opinions about it. And it's like, it's just noise. Like, boys, focus on the gazelle.
I like that. Focus on the gazelle. You know, yeah. Focus on what you need to get done and not all the grass. That's a good way of looking at it. And again, applicable for a lot of walks of life, that is for sure. But hey, yeah, like I said, we can do another damn hour on the state of football media and sports media and maybe just media in general. But yeah, you guys got some games here to play, including Thursday night. You will be doing it with the backup quarterback in Easton Stick, and that's not new, Austin. Like, this whole year is quickly becoming like the year of the backup quarterback, with now over half the league needing to play their backup quarterback at one point or another this season, according to Mark Mask. We could be seeing the 55th and 56th starter at the position this season in week 15. What's going on? What, and this is a thing we've seen, like, this is not unprecedented. It's not like the most quarterbacks we've ever seen play. The season's not over yet, but it has been sort of a trend in recent seasons. What do you think is the deal with all of this stuff?
Yeah. You know, we see the NFL doing everything they can to implement rules to try and protect these guys, just because we know how important they are to the game. Like, these guys are right the face of the league. That people come to see amazing offense and see plays being made. Yeah, you're going to have that on defense, but let's face it, offense is going to be the one that's selling tickets. People want to see the catches and the touchdown dances and, you know, all of that stuff. And the big, you know, 40-yard bomb to people, you know, like that's what
fantasy,
you
know, stats. It's what, you know, yeah, with this,
yeah,
you know,
fantasy. Exactly. Yeah. You know, all of this is bought into these QBs. And, rightfully so, right? They have a big impact on the game, even just like, hey, protections, run game, right? Making sure, hey, we're locked in on, you know, all of these different details, which we could talk about for hours about what they have to go through as being, you know, just, you know, a superstar level quarterback. So like NFL's like, all right, let's protect these guys. However, there's what we just talked about. There's a reality. And the reality is we play a very violent game called football where an offense is trying to move one way and the defense is trying to move the other way. And there's a lot of large men running into each other. And guess what? When that happens, people are going to get injured and it's inevitable. It is inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. I don't care who you are, what position you play. There's going to be a chance every single game, every time you step on the practice field, every time you're playing this game, football, that you can get hurt because it is so violent. So we're just seeing that play out. Like you said, this isn't like a new record of like quarterbacks that hasn't been played. Obviously, you don't want anyone to be injured. We want to see the highest quality of production on every single game, every single day. But there's a reality to football. And unfortunately, you know, no one's safe from injury. You know, it's one of those, it's like time, you know, what they say about time, like time always, you know, will always be there in the end, is inevitable. Same thing with injuries in football. Like it sucks. You know, I went through it at the very beginning of the year with my ankle. Justin's gone through it. If you can play, you're going to go through it. But if it's one of those where it's like, look, man, unfortunately you can't, you got to sit out, then yeah, it sucks, but that's the situation. And it's never a great timing either, right? Mm-hmm. Like you see, like if you remember even San Fran last year, right, with their quarterbacks, like they're going on this tear and then all of a sudden they got no quarterbacks left. You know, Purdy can't even throw the ball. He's got to go in there and hand it off, you know, and it's unfortunate, but it's a reality of the game. And it's kind of this gauntlet, right? We see every single year and it's like, who has the enough guys to put a good product on the field left standing, you know? And that's what it comes down to at the end of the year is who's left. Because, and we're talking about, you know, the NFL, they want to extend the season. We went from 16 games to 17 games. And so if there's any ever conversation about going even further, like we got to bring this into occasion. Like there's more risk for injury and more risk for people that are right going to be not there in the end of the season when playoffs, you know, start hitting. And those are the big money games and the Super Bowl and all that. So kind of went on a tangent there. But yeah, it's football. There's going to be injuries. Definitely should not. I turned it into a political thing, not trying to extend the season here. No more games, man. We're already damn too long enough. We're already seeing too many damn injuries. But yeah, no, I think it's a, you know, a part of the game where you can't get rid of it. They're trying.
Yeah.
They're trying to do their best. But like I said, it's inevitable.
It's going to be tough to like point to a root cause, like, oh, this is the reason beyond the fact that, yeah, it's just football, right? Like,
Look at the different types. Sorry to cut you off, but look at the different types of injuries, right? Like, you can't prevent everything. Justin got a finger. You got Achilles. You got ribs. You got shoulders. You got, you know, all these different things that could potentially happen. You know, ankles. And so it's like, we're going to put flags on the quarterback.
Put him in the red jersey on game day.
We're going to put flags on the quarterback. And if you pull their flag before, you know, I don't know. There's no way to fully protect someone in football. And so it's unfortunate, but it's the nature of the game.
Right. And there's always a conversation about, oh, man, if this guy runs too much, he's going to get hurt. And well, maybe the hits add up after a while, like it does, honestly, for like running backs and stuff. Right. Like touches add up and everything. But at the same time, a lot of these injuries occur in the pocket. Which,
yeah,
you can't take that out of the game. Like, it is what it is. So, yeah, I mean, there's an inevitability aspect to it, like you mentioned. But a lot of these teams, like the best teams in the NFL, can weather their starting quarterback going down. I mean, the Bengals right now with Jake Browning, like they're kind of on a tear. So I'm just curious from like player perspective, when you have to onboard like a backup quarterback, new quarterback, what is that process like for as much as like your perspective you have on that?
Well, with my experience with backup quarterbacks, we've had some great backup quarterbacks that have come in. We've had Chase Daniels, we had Geno Smith, and obviously Stick as well. And these guys basically act like they're going to be playing anyway. Like Easton came in the game, was changing protections, making the kills, you know, to the changing the plays, making audibles, running the no huddle offense. He didn't take one snap of the first team reps. you know, the entire practice. And he's in here, he's got everything down. Like this, that's how these guys operate. You're in that quarterback room, you're taking in all that knowledge and you're applying it and you're getting a ton of mental reps, but then you go and do the scout team too. So you do get the physical part, but now you got to do it with, you know, the offense that we're calling instead of, you know, a scout team card. And so Stick is, he's made plays with his feet. He's made plays, you know, throwing the ball in practice. I call him Dr. Stick because he gets surgical with that thing at practice. And so he's slicing him in there. Yeah, Dr. Stick. So yeah, look, if Justin can't go and Stick's the guy for us, like, just like we did in that, in the game versus Denver, like, we're going to rally around this guy. We got all the confidence that this guy can go out there and give us a chance to win. And that's all we really can you know, hope for. And, you know, maybe there's some changes because, you know, maybe he's definitely faster than Justin. So maybe there's some of that in there. Who knows?
Really?
We'll see what Kellen puts in there, you know? So, oh yeah, stick and move. And that's no secret. You've seen this guy. Well, maybe you haven't seen him, but in preseason, this guy, yeah, he's got some gas. So maybe there's some things that are, you know, curated to that. But we'll see.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, definitely you see that guys at different dimensions. Yeah, I didn't realize Easton Stick ran a 4.62 at the combine when he got drafted. Like, yeah, he can scoot a little bit. He's not like a tiny dude. I mean, he's 224. At least, again, his combine weight was 224. Like, that's pretty good. There you go. Stick and scoot, man. There you go. So maybe we'll see some of that on Thursday night. But last thing, touching on this game before we talk about our fantasy league. Actually, this will transition into our fantasy league, unfortunately for me. Despite the loss on the field, Austin, you actually had probably your best fantasy day in a while. Well, definitely your best fantasy day in a while. 15 touches, 100 total yards. You get back into the end zone. And this comes after a week. I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but it comes after a week where, let me tell you what, Brandon Staley said something about, oh, this is going to be a little competition for carries going into this week. And talk about media and making a kerfuffle. I mean, man, on Thursday or Friday, whenever that came out, that was like a whole thing on fantasy Twitter, man. Like, you know, people had a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions, a lot of different ways. I'm just curious, was there anything actually different from a preparation standpoint that went into this week that, you know, made you find success or no, just keep chopping wood?
No, for me, at this point in the season, we get this late, like, I don't take a lot of reps at practice. Like, my body is, we're trying to save my body, right? I'm hitting like a top speed here and there. I'm probably getting 7-8 plays at practice. And so that's what it's been for me at this point in my career going into year 7. And obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious, but we've only been dressing me and Joshua Kelly in the past few games. And Isaiah Spiller was up and he got some carries in the game as well. So that was like the big change, you know, for the week from previous weeks that you could see this week. But it wasn't like, okay, Austin, you're taking the seat. You're not getting any reps. And that's what like media was like, oh, Austin's getting benched. Like, he's done. But, you know, focus on the gazelle.
Hey, Austin, let me tell you what's not clicking headline wise. Chargers shake up backfield, gonna activate Isaiah Spiller to get some reps. Nobody's clicking on that headline, buddy. You know what? People, maybe if the true sickos listening to this podcast, maybe they're clicking on that. But you know what a lot of people are clicking on? Austin Ekeler possibly getting benched? Head coach says competition for, you know, so that there's your media literacy right there, people. Like, you got focus on the gazelle.
For sure. Oh, I can't get caught up in it, man, because people asking me, like, hey, man, what's going on with this? Like, man, like, look, we're going to show up on Sunday. I'm going to prepare. I haven't changed anything. I can't. Like, you are who you are. Like, I'm going to prepare the same way I've always prepared, which has given me success in the past. So it's like, let's keep doing that. And then, you know, obviously we've been struggling running the ball. It's not a secret. And so there was like, okay, let's see what Isaiah can do. Like, let's give him a chance. It wasn't like, hey, Austin, we've given up on you. It's just like, we're trying something new kind of thing. And, you know,
and we've talked about it too. Less is more sometimes for you guys, right? Like, you've always welcomed the competition.
I mean, absolutely. That's where we play the game. Like, I'm not, if coach said, hey, we're having a competition. I mean, we've always been having a competition, right? Like, just because he's saying it, basically to me, he's stating what is happening every single day at practice. You have to continue to earn your spot and continue to earn your reps. And, you know, it's going to fluctuate, right? It's yeah, you could, some people can maintain staying at the top of their game forever. Football, it's a little tough because of the injuries and right, just the different teams, that how fluid it is, and how much you rely on the whole 11 on the field to actually go out there. And so for us, we're always competing and we're not scared. I'm not scared of competition. Like that's how I've gotten this spot, is because I went out there and competed, you know, and I was number three and continued to climb, and it'll never change. As long as I'm, you know, playing football, and even out in the business world where I'm doing that, I'm always competing. Like, let's go. Like that's what fuels me. And it doesn't mean I'm always going to win. Doesn't mean I'm always going to be playing at the best, but it means I'm always going to show up and try to put my best foot forward and continue to work. That's what I'm going to do. And this is exactly what our message was. Even when we were down, you know, 21 points or whatever, we were down in the fourth quarter, like, hey, there's still time on the clock. Let's go out there and compete. Like, we're still competing. I'm still here competing. We're all out here. We're out here together, and we rely on each other to have success. And just because it's not looking good for us doesn't mean we're giving up, because it's not. At the end of the day, yes, people want to see wins and losses. But for me as a man internally, it's about, hey, am I continuing to, against all odds, continuing to try to move forward and try to push myself in a forward direction? Because that over time will compound to some sort of success in my life, at least fulfillment within myself.
Well, hey, you pushed forward. Like I said, the results on the field speak for themselves. You had a nice little performance there in week 14, despite your team losing. For fantasy people, that was good, except for one guy, me.
Man.
finally get a nice game out of Austin Eckler, 18.5 points in the Eckler's Edge League, unfortunately. And look, I said last week, I'm like, I don't know if this team's got it in them, okay? And then my guy Nico Collins leaves after one catch. You know, he gets a strained calf. Jalen Hurts, this guy, like, he gets his tush pushed into the end zone, no problem every week. Bunch of touchdowns. Well, he doesn't score a touchdown this week. He has 8 points. Letdown performance there. I even get the damn Saints defense right, a streaming defense I'd planned to play this week because, listen, man. Bryce Young and the Panthers, ain't nothing going right there. That, yikes. That's not a fun watch right now. 21 points to the Saints defense. Austin comes back in. It just couldn't get the timing right. Unfortunately, I'm going to lose this week. I'm going to be officially out of the playoffs. But Austin, you though, you might lose this week, but
you're in.
Let me tell you what, man, I am now wholly invested in making sure you win this league. Cause look, I haven't shown it in a while, but
oh yeah, I got the trophy. Look at that thing. Look at that thing.
I am not mailing this to anyone but you, okay? I need you to win this league so I can send this to you. I'm not interested in sending this to Chris Harris. I mention Chris Harris on this show every week, but, you know, I mean, I'm just having fun. I am not interested in mailing this to Chris Harris or Josh Norris or any of these other goofballs, all right? Like, I need to represent our show
I need some help. I need some help because Justin is my quarterback, and now we are looking at a situation here where obviously I got to pick up somebody else. It's looking tough out there in the quarterback world right now.
Yeah. So let's talk about it, because this isn't just for you. This is for the people too. I mean, look, a lot of people were starting Justin Herbert. A lot of people were, myself included, not in this league, but in other leagues. A lot of CJ Stroud teams, man, and he gets a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol. We'll see if he ends up playing this week, but that could be two of the top quarterbacks wiped off the board for this week in a year where there's already a ton of back quarterbacks. So I compiled guys who are available in our league and are pretty, but this is one of the funniest things in fantasy media, Austin, that you someday when you're hosting this show full time without me, just the Austin Eckler fantasy football show, you'll come to find out people have a lot of feelings. But, oh, yeah, you're telling me to pick up this guy? Not available in my league. Not available in my league. Well, we're not just talking about your league, so calm down, people. Mm-hmm. But regardless, these are pretty widely available guys. Geno Smith's available in our league, but I don't think that really counts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to sell you on some of these backup quarterback options, and you tell me which one you think has the best case and you can potentially pick up. So again, I'm going to start with these widely available guys here.
Okay.
I'll first bring up Gardner Minshew, current Colts starting quarterback. Gardner, not supposed to be the Colts starting quarterback. It's supposed to be Anthony Richardson. He's been out for a long time now at this point. But Gardner Minshew's got a matchup with the Steelers this week. Steelers defense, typically tough, but they have a lot of injuries on that side of the ball. And they just gave up over 20 fantasy points to Bailey Zappi. Famously, Bailey Zappi. I mean, he's Bailey Zappi, man. Come on. Like that. So that's a point in Gardner's favor. I also love the RPO heavy offense they run in Indy. He gets some chances at the goal line every now and again. And to steal a line from my fellow co-host here, Andy Behrens, he likes to say he's the guy who gets to throw to Michael Pittman, is Gardner Minshew. And Michael Pittman is a dog. So there's that. The next guy I will bring up here, Jake Browning. I'm not sure if you've seen this Jake Browning guy, Austin, but old Jake Browning stepping in for Joe Burrow. He leads the NFL in passing yards over the last 2 weeks. Joe Burrow's backup quarterback, Jake Browning. And honestly, what I think is impressive for Jake Browning, Austin, is that he's doing it in a lot of different ways from Burrow. He's getting under center, a lot of screen passes. It just looks like a very different offense, but Browning is crushing it. And notably, it's kind of a tough matchup, though, for you this week. Gets the Vikings, a Saturday game. The Vikings throw a lot of, like, blitzes at you. They play a lot of heavy drop zone coverage. I mean, you played them. So, well, you were injured, but you obviously
I watched part my of that team play them. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Now, a lot of blitzes they threw at Justin in that game. You'd imagine backup quarterback. That might make you a little nervous. So let me bring up Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco brings his ass off the couch. And I think
how long has he been playing, man? This man has been playing for a minute now.
I was explaining Joe Flacco to somebody yesterday, and I was like, yeah, he's 39 years. He'll be 39 in January. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens like 10 years ago at this point. It actually is really awesome. It's so cool to see. Like, he's a very, I mean, Flacco's been in my life for a long time, man. I mean, I'm good, but like, very stoic guy, not very emotional. He's just kind of like, straightforward. You can tell like the couple like clips in the locker room, the media availability he's had. He is like relishing playing again. It's a really cool thing to see. And he had a line like, look, I'm mostly dead inside. I don't get super emotional about this stuff, but he had a line to the players in the other Browns players in the locker room. He's like, hey, you guys deserve to play December football because you've been like grinding out here all year and you don't deserve to just have your season like wash away, right? Like, that's what I'm here to do, come in here and like help you guys get those. Oh, damn.
Nice. I love that.
That kind of got me. So
let's go. You can rally around that for sure.
There's the emotional case for Joe Flacco. However, Bears defense has been playing very well of late. That's the matchup this week. Texans kind of middle of the road. Jets is a tough matchup for Joe Flacco. So speaking of Jets, let me also bring up Zach Wilson. You started Zach Wilson on Justin Herbert's bye. It didn't go so well. That being said, buddy, he just rang up the Texans for 300 yards, got the ball to Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, the young playmakers there. He actually had a great quote, apparently, to his teammate DJ Reed, said, what do I have to lose? They already benched me once. What are they going to do, bench me again? Like, so he's maybe playing fast and loose. He's got a matchup with the Commanders in week 16. The worst pass defense in the NFL. So that's a point for him. And I'm not going to sell you on Derek Carr, even though he's widely available, because let me tell you, you don't want that. Even though the matchups are nice, you don't want that, man. So lastly, the other guy I'll bring up is Easton Stick. Your Stick. Guy, Easton Stick. So I made the case for Gardner. Again, Geno's available in our league. Maybe you just want to pick up Geno, though he's banged up. I don't know about that. So Gardner Minshew, Jake Browning, Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson, and your own guy, Easton Stick. Who's got the best case to take over if you need a backup quarterback to get you through the rest of the season?
Look, I appreciate that, Matt. That was well done. Very thought out. Appreciate it. I have to make a decision. The thing that's intriguing about Easton is I know, right, I can contribute to his success. So there's like a tie in there, right? Where it's like, okay, if he's throwing me the ball, I got to make some people miss. I can go score. I do like this Jake Browning situation as well, and how he's been on a tear, even though he's playing the Vikings, who are going to be blitzing the heck out of him. So I'm looking at those guys, and you say you're rooting for me. What would your recommendation be from all of those picks right there?
Man, Jake Browning versus Easton Stick. What a world. Welcome to the NFL, baby.
Welcome to December football.
You do have me intrigued with the Easton Stick. Like, if he really can scoot, that's a big advantage in fantasy. Like, maybe Kellen Moore is going to come out with a lot of quarterback keeper option stuff. I don't know, man. That could be interesting.
I've seen this man scramble for 40 yards in preseason games, and like, he's just running around dudes. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if it was me, I'm probably going to take Jake Browning. I think he'd be the guy I'd pick up just because, again, I love the sustainability of what they've shown from an offensive standpoint, the way they have changed midstream, and Browning's been out there. I think he's just played, and he's played well, period, like full stop. And these guys have a lot on the line too. I mean, Chase Daniel, you mentioned, he's filled in with you guys at the Chargers before, and he's currently doing, like, he's in the media, he's in the media now, man. So he's been doing podcasts. Stuff. He's talked about this on some of his shows. Like, you have one little moment like Jake Browning's having right now, he could be set for life. Okay. Like, that backup quarterback life is really good. So, it is a kind of a wonky matchup there with the Vikings, but that blitz stuff can be, and Justin's a great example. Now, is Jake Browning as good as Justin? Maybe not, but who's to say? But that live by the sword, die by the sword approach can be the case with blitzes where, like, are you going to blitz this guy a ton? Well, maybe he beats the blitz. So I know for me personally, I think I would go Jake Browning. So if he blows it for you in week 15, then you can just come back on this podcast and tell me I'm a jackass.
All right. I was going to go the opposite of what you suggested because you got a C minus on. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Outrageous.
I'm kidding.
When I make my own decisions, I get C minuses. When I make other people's decisions, that's when I really come to life.
That's when you give the good advice. I like it. All right. We'll see. I haven't made a decision yet. I'm going to hold off for a little bit. It's hard not to bet on my guy's stick because it's right. There's so much bias in that, though, because it's like, that's my guy. Like, I believe in this man.
But you know what, Austin? The reality is what I like. I just made the case for Jake Browning, all that. I tell people this all the time. Don't just, because personal accountability show, don't just do like, oh, well, Matt Harmon said this, so I'm just going to do that. Like, if you've got a gut feeling that goes the other direction and this applies to you, and again, everybody else out there, go ahead and follow your gut, man. Like, you know, you want to win something. You want to win because you did it, not because I listened to some goofball on a podcast.
Right. Right. Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate the work. We'll see how it plays out, and then we can report on it, come this next upcoming show.
All right, well, we got to end the show rapid fire as we always do here, Austin. All right, since we're teaming up with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own in this segment we are calling Future Snapshots. So make me a bold prediction. Who's going to have a memorable performance this weekend? Austin, you go first. All right,
last week, I had David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs going for 150, I think in one touchdown, maybe it was two. And they came up.
Bros.
Yeah, the eyebrow bros. Yeah, they dropped out, by the way, so they're looking good right now. However, they are facing the Broncos, who were ranked last in run defense when we played them last week. So we'll see. They were letting up like 150 a game before our game.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe they can squeak back up in there. But anyway, 150. They came up short there. So. Another whiff. Bold predictions, they're tough. The bold predictions.
They're bold for a reason.
Indeed. For this week, I'm kind of digging into my four running backs that I said were going to be carries through the playoffs. And I'm leaning into Travis Etienne going against Baltimore at AFC Showdown. It's a big game for both of these teams. And I'm going with Travis Etienne having 100 all-purpose yards and a touchdown.
I like that call. Yeah, you mentioned those top four running back rankings we did. I will say, all those guys crushed it on both of our lists. CMC, you on your own list, you crushed it. Jahmyr Gibbs found the end zone. Kyren Williams had 100 yards again. Travis Etienne managed to get it. Like, Austin, we might know ball. Well, we'll see if I can get this bold
prediction
right.
We like to think so. If you know ball, you know that you don't know ball from the results standpoint, right? You can know it from the projections and all of that, but then, right, there's the variety in the play, you know? So that's why we have a show, because no one really knows, but we can just give you some hints and hopefully help you out in some way.
Well, no team is tougher to predict seemingly on a weekly basis than the Atlanta Falcons, but I'm going to go with a bold prediction on Bijan Robinson, who, if you actually look at his rushing yards this year, a lot of like okay games, but he's only gone on over 120 rushing yards one time.
120?
120 rushing yards one time.
How many times does he have to go over 120?
Well, I think he's gonna get 150 rushing yards this week against the Carolina. I'll go 150 total yards. Let me slow that down. I'm gonna go 150 total yards against the Carolina Panthers this week. I think he scores two touchdowns. Man, he was this close to a monster game against the Bucks last week. Desmond Ridder, put that ball on him a little bit better at the goal line. Come on, man. But I think he gets a monster game here. He's coming off a 34-yard rushing game against Tampa last week. Like I said, that 124 rushing yard game, it was all the way back in week two, buddy. So I'm saying at least 130 rushing yards, 150 combined total yards, and two touchdowns against Carolina Panthers. Right. One of the worst run defenses in the NFL. You know, Arthur Smith, this guy loves to run the ball. They didn't win last week. Oh, Drake Clinton has a big game. Desmond Ridder throws 300 yards. You know he wants to get back to his roots and run the ball. So I think he's going to do it against Panthers this week.
All righty. That is a bold, bold prediction from your boy, Matt. I like it.
Now you see, look at that. We are making memories every day here on Eckler's Edge. Those are our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. And that is going to do it for this show. Austin, appreciate the flexibility to do a little early here and get the show in, despite the fact you plan on Thursday night. We covered a ton of ground here, from media literacy to Bijan Robinson's rushing yards. That's why you come listening to Eckler's Edge here.
There it is, man. Love it.
All right. Well, appreciate you. Good luck this Thursday against the Raiders. You all out there, tomorrow is Thursday, heading into a full slate of NFL action. And I mean, if you don't know what that means by now, what are you doing? You're listening to this podcast. You know what it means by now. Dalton Del Don joins me to give you one stat you need to know for all 32 teams. Until then, we're out.